Hi everyone, welcome to today's episode on my 2021 story. So as you may already know, this series is essentially us just featuring different people, amazing people that I actually hold in high respect, and having them share about their 2021 story from the perspective of their wins, their losses, and most importantly, lessons. And you may ask, why are we doing this? Well, because people have had different challenges this year, and I think that it's really beautiful to hear from another person's perspective how the year has gone for them and be encouraged. Yeah. So today on this episode, we have an amazing friend and brother, ex-colleague of mine, and he's called Upper Excellence. He says he's afraid of the title I'm about to call him, so let me not call him that title. But we have Akem Aristide in the house. Hi, Akem.
Hi, Oli. Nice to be on the podcast, and thank you for considering me worthy to participate in the podcast.
Look at the humility. You guys, this guy is a speaker for excellence. So tell them about our Toastmasters episode. Yeah, thank you. Anyways, I'm happy to have you here as well. Do you want to introduce yourself briefly? What you do for that?
Okay, sure. So apart from what you've said, which is my name already, Akem Aristide, I'm from Cameroon. Currently, I am doing my PhD in telematics engineering at the India Networks Institute in Madrid, in Spain. And I am also doubly affiliated to the University of Carlos III, which is also here in Madrid. So the kind of work I'm doing is basically focused on network intelligence, looking at different ways in which we can implement artificial intelligence techniques within network devices. And like you said, I did my master's in Carnegie Mellon University Africa, which is which is where I met Ozzy, and that's why I'm able to be on this podcast today. So yeah, basically that's it.
That's amazing. Thank you for introducing yourself. Apart from the fact that all the big English, I didn't really understand it, but the cocoa is is a scholar for excellence. Thank you so much for coming on here, Akem. So let's delve into it quickly. So concerning 2021, if I said for you to provide for us a general overview, how would you say 2021 was for you? You know, reflecting now, this is, you know, we're recording this on 21st of December, you know, thinking back how the year started and how it evolved, you know, as the days ran by, how would you say 2021 was for you?
Yeah, I think I would say 2021 is one of those years that went by so quickly, because when I think of when January was and now I'm already in December, it's like it's just yesterday, you know.
So
the year really went by so quickly, and by the end of last year, I think I kind of had an idea of many of the things I was going to do this year. So many of the things that I did this year were kind of just an execution of things that had been planned last year, because by the time I ended the last year, I already accepted my PhD offer. I had already signed my preliminary offer letter and all of that. So when the year was starting,
You already had an idea.
Yeah, I knew that in January, I'm going to be working on my documentation and all of that. In February, I'm going to apply for the visa. In March, I'm going to travel. April, I'll be settling down and so on. So I'll say it has been a year where I am executing most of what was planned last year. And there have been some challenges, of course, and some wins, which I guess we are going to talk about the program. But I'll say, globally, it has been a good year for me, I'd say. So more of the good side than the bad side, despite the pandemic.
That's amazing. Really good to hear. I think for me, that's I was thinking earlier today, and I was like, how are we in December already? Because me, I still remember crossover.
Yeah.
I still remember it like yesterday. Anyways, that's really amazing. So maybe we go to, you know, the wins you have experienced across board in the year 2021.
Okay. So the very first thing I would say is that I am able to start my PhD. that's the very first thing I've been able to start my PhD, because by when I finished my master's in May of 2020, my objective was to, the first objective was to see if I could start a PhD in September or October.
Yeah, that same year.
Yeah, but it was difficult because it was someone who in May had not yet had an offer. To think that you would start in October was, you know, almost impossible. So there were many positive, of course, many rejections, as well as some accepted ones that I had by that time. Mm. And the earliest ones that if I accepted, I could start that same year were in November. So those were like two positions that I had in Italy, which I could go to start if I wanted to start in November. But weighing everything out and considering all the different possibilities, the locations, the amount of funding available, kind of topics we had to do and so on, I decided to wait for this one, which was going to start this year. And that's how I got here. So that's the first big win for me. And being able to move to start the PhD effectively and settling in, beginning to learn the language, adapting to the climate and the new people and all of that, I'll say that's a big
Before you go on, I just wanted to ask you a question alongside PhD journey. Maybe you encourage someone out there. So do you always know that you wanted to do a PhD? Because it seems like, you know, from the time you were graduating, for you to have gotten some offers which would start in November, that means you may have been applying for it, or you should have been applying for it before May. So did you always know that this was the plan after graduation? Did you have backup plans, or it was just this PhD or nothing?
Yeah, so it may sound funny, but I had plan A, B, C, and D when I was graduating in May, because my father asked me because when we did the virtual graduation on the 17th of May, the next day my father called me and was like, "Now congratulations and everything," and then he asked the big question, "What next?" So I told him currently I have four plans. So the very first plan, I'll just go to the preview. The very first plan was to go for the GSK Future Leaders Program in Technology.
Right, I remember that.
Exactly. So I really remember I had a visa and I was supposed to go on the 17th of March for the final assessment center. And that was the week everywhere shut down. So
I remember.
Yeah. So GSK told us, okay, they will invite us in September for another assessment center. So that was the first plan. Okay, follow GSK, go for the assessment center. I mean, usually I believe that when I make it to the interview phase, then the high probability that I'll get So that was like plan A. You know, then plan B was to start applying for my PhDs immediately, because the truth is, as of that May, I have not submitted any PhD application.
Oh, really?
So the next option B was to focus on my PhD applications and make sure that by spring of the next year, of spring 2021, I should be able to start a PhD at latest. So best case scenario, fall, which means September, October, November. Worst case scenario, by spring, which means January, February, March of 2021. So that was plan B. Plan C was to take up and find an internship there in Rwanda or in surrounding in neighboring countries and work on that while thinking of what exactly I want to do. Plan D was to look for, just focus only on jobs to keep applying for job opportunities home and abroad until I land one and then eventually move to go. So those were my plans. So when I looked at it at that time, I said, okay, plan A has been pushed to about September. I can't really work on it right now. So I said, okay, I will attack plan B and C at the same time. So I started applying for PhD positions immediately. And I also got the internship, which I was doing at the Ministry of ICT. Okay. And by the time the internship was ending, I had not yet had an accepted PhD. Okay, in the middle, almost towards the end of the internship, that was when I had an accepted offer. But because around July, I think, there were also the opportunities to apply for teaching assistants at CMU and so on. So I also applied for that. And by August, 15th or so, I already had like a confirmation of the cage position which I'm following now. So I could start.
That's definitely within like 3 months.
Yeah. So I could start canceling out the other plans. So then I was like, okay, now I am plan A and B, C and D are no longer valid. But by November, when GSK eventually postponed again in September, and in November, they contacted me telling me, okay, you are no longer able to follow up on the program in Belgium, but if you are interested, we want to invite you for an assessment center for GSK UK. And I was like, and by that time, I was really very good in writing thank you emails. Because I was like, okay.
Wow, that's good. When it's you on the other side, it's actually really fun.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, that's it basically.
Oh, really?
So in summary, I did not always know that I would do a PhD, but it is something that I strongly considered because I like teaching, because in teaching, there is a lot of talking.
And you like talking. You know what? Exactly. I just remembered there was one time we had this session during orientation.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember that session. You anchored.
I remember.
Hey, we were standing outside by the bus and you were telling me about your PhD. For me, I was just looking at this guy like, you just want to spend it 1 year or how many months in? How are you going to be able to get your papers right, your research acts right? Anyways, exactly. All I can say is God is good. And yeah, well done. Okay, I also think, I don't know how this thing is going to be structured, because obviously now we're talking about lessons already about, casting your bread upon many waters. And this one thing I also learned in 2021, many times it's like we always focus on, oh, I want this, right? But I think it's also a good idea to have backup plans, because as you're having backup plans, the interesting thing is you might definitely be able to hit that original goal that you really want. But then if you don't hit that goal, it's not all back to zero. You still have some plans that you can be working on while you still aim on that, at that main goal that you want. Anyway, sorry for interrupting. I just wanted to talk a bit about that. So do you want to continue, talking or discussing your wins for the year?
So essentially, I'll say that's the main, because everything else will probably revolve around that, because that was like the major step after my graduation, And maybe in which other aspect? Okay, maybe in terms of my social life, my relationship with others, and even in my love life, I'll say there has been some progress.
I was using start to wait. People don't always like talking about this love life first, so I was using start to wait.
So I'm not as single as I was in CMU.
Exciting.
I'll not say more than that anyway.
It's okay. You don't need to say more than that. You know, this thing Nigerians say about don't put everything outside. I don't know if your village people listen to this podcast.
Let them listen.
Anyways, that's really amazing. Did you experience any like major losses or any setbacks, or downtimes in the course of the year that you want to share about?
Yeah, so first of all, I'll just call them the difficult parts of the year, right?
Yeah.
So I'd say at the very beginning of the year, I was a little bit worried because my documentation process, towards traveling was taking a lot of time. So I was already getting impatient, with my mother by my side asking me every day, are you sure you're going to go to that speed? Are you sure those documents? So I was like, okay. I was really getting a little bit impatient because the process was really taking a little bit of time, but everything went through eventually. And then when I came, settling in also at the beginning was a little bit difficult. To be very honest, the very first week I came, the first few days when I came, when I had not yet come to see my supervisor and the other PhD students. So I reached on a certain Friday at night, and I even got lost a little bit to the Airbnb, because I don't know.
That's me, man.
Somehow I when I got to the airport, I don't know how I didn't even think about it, that I will not have internet access when I leave the airport. So I didn't even think about it. So because I should have gotten a new SIM card at the airport so that when I go outside, I'll have. So when I left the train, I was trying to follow the directions the guy of the Airbnb gave me. But then I realized I didn't have internet connection. So the whole thing was messed up. And that was like 11 p.m.
Yeah.
And there was a curfew that time in Spain, which was starting at midnight. So I was confused. And But luckily, they were I started asking people in English. Like, I just wrote the address on a piece of paper. I was like, okay, I don't even know Spanish. I'm just showing somebody the address.
Yeah.
But I eventually found some two people who helped me, you know, to locate the place. But it was a little bit difficult for me that day. And the next day, the next few days when I went out, you know, I started moving around. I was, that's when I even dawned on me that this Spanish thing could be a problem. Like, I'm like, I couldn't understand anything.
Yeah.
Like,
well, I don't even know if it's a language, because even me, when I got here, right, I got lost a lot. As in, even my, like, the apartment I eventually settled in yesterday, is about almost 2 months since I moved here now. Yesterday, I got out from the bus and I was going in the opposite direction. I'd already walked for about 2 minutes. I'm like, Shima, what are you doing?
Where are you going?
And it, like, it's just, anyways, it's moving into a new place is definitely one of the most courageous things that anyone can do, to be honest.
Yeah. So that next day, indeed, I actually felt like I was lost. And I was like, what am I even doing? If I was, it's not that I'm a hard guy, maybe I'll have cried. But, I was just walking around as if nothing is happening. But
then
the weekend passed and Monday came. And that weekend still Sunday, I started looking. Because by that time I really located the English church that I would be attending. So I went to the Spanish church. Give me one dot, I did not hear. The only thing that I know that now this is what they are doing, now this is what they're doing.
So, yeah.
But then Monday, things became better because I came, met the supervisor, met everyone, everyone speaking English, welcome. Mm. So I was like, oh no, I'm in the right place. So, and from then on, I think things went even better. Then the next major downtime that I've seen is doing in July or so. July, when I came very close to the COVID thing, because in the office, in my workspace, one of my colleagues got COVID, so that's very Friday they told us to go home, because they were like, okay, one person has been putting all of you in this workspace, go home. So I was coming home that Friday and I was worried already, like, I said, this thing, they are going to tell me to quarantine and all of that. Then later in the day, they sent an email telling us, okay, we have identified the contacts of the person, so if you have not been contacted,
then you're free.
So I was like, oh, thank God I'm free, I can go back to work on Monday. But then on Sunday, two of my flatmates also tested positive. I was like, wow. So I've survived in the office. I don't know. So first thing, I told the people in the office, the HR told me, okay, don't come to the office for the next 10 days. Whether you test positive or negative or whatever, it's not a problem. So I was staying at home during that period, scared, very scared, of course, putting on masks inside the house and anything. And I eventually went through that period without testing positive myself. So but I was so scared. I would say I was really.
Did you have like mild symptoms or anything?
No, I didn't get symptoms. And it was also a confusing time, because during those days I had just taken the first dose of the vaccine. So I was like, okay, now even if I do get some symptoms, who knows the effects of the vaccine that I'm taking, or but anyway, the thing just
you don't know what they put in this vaccine,
so the thing just passed and I did not experience any, so because they told me, okay, have any symptoms or this, come to the hospital for a test. Well, eventually I didn't have to take any test because I didn't think I needed one. So that was like one of the major downtimes, because I was so scared and so frightened, you know. But
it
passed, and thank God that everyone around me who was sick got well and had no major issues. That's it. For the rest of the month, it's just been work and everything. Sometimes research doesn't work the way you expect it to be. You'll be stuck on some piece of code for weeks. but eventually you get through it and all of that. So that's been it.
No, that's amazing. I myself, I also, you know, went through some really challenging health issues this year, and honestly it was a time when I was alone, and I told myself and I told my God that I don't want this to happen again. You know, being sick is one thing, then being sick and alone in a foreign land is something else. I'm thankful for you and for all the people that were infected, that nothing grave happened to them.
yeah
All right, so wrapping up now, we'll just talk generally about the lessons that you picked up this year, you know, in any particular order, whether in your love life or in your family or in your career or in your health or in just living and getting used to a new environment. Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, okay, maybe one thing that I'll say, okay, one important lesson that I'll say is that rest is very important.
Hear what?
Yeah, because if you remember back then in Kigali, to be very honest, I was not resting because
I know.
If I think of when I think of like how much I was working back then, I'm like, okay, you did that, you went that hard, okay, you got like practically almost the perfect result, but okay, was it necessary? Because okay, unfortunately, I could not make this evaluation. I could not do this evaluation when I was still doing all those things because I was just like, okay, this is the target that I was doing. But now that I've achieved all those targets and I have finished everything and I sat down in my house now in December, I was doing nothing that time. I was like, okay, but was it necessary? All those nights, sleeping, everything, tampons, staying up, working very hard as well, was it necessary? So I was like, okay.
I have never thought about it from this perspective.
Exactly. So I was like, okay, it's good to do all of those things, score all of those scores and everything. But maybe getting more rest and planning my time and everything better, I could perform, okay, even if I don't perform that well, but I'll still perform well enough to follow up on next plans that I have. So I will not have any problem because at the end of the day, when you, let's say you want to apply for a PhD, they tell you the cutoff is 3.5. Once you have above that, it's okay.
What are you using the remaining 4.0?
You understand?
I think I was talking to a friend today and she was, no, it was yesterday, and she was talking about her results coming out. She's in grad school, right?
Yeah.
And how, you know, if she didn't do as well, I asked her, did you pass?
Did you pass?
And she's like, yeah, but it affected my GPA. My man, I'm like,
yeah.
Apart from when you have like a reasonable good grade, nobody's going to say, you know, did you have like all A's or perfect grades?
Yeah.
And
exactly.
So
exactly.
I feel you.
Yeah. So with proper planning, getting enough rest and all of that, perform well enough to achieve all your future objectives. Yeah, that's what. So, like, even now, it's something that I take very much into consideration. Like, okay, if I'm working hard, I'm doing well, but the question is it necessary? If I can leave this work now, if this thing I'm doing now is not a must, I must finish it today. If I'm tired, I leave it, I can't sleep. Tomorrow, I continue. That's how I function now. I'm no more saying that, okay, I'll work the whole night and, you know, no more, that does not exist again in my agenda.
That's really nice.
Yeah. And also the other thing I would say is to make the best out of every opportunity, because at the end, with this pandemic and seeing how people just die because of
pandemic, even young people.
Today places are open, tomorrow they are closed and so on. So any opportunity that comes, make good use of it. If you have opportunity to travel today,
travel for the lockdown everywhere again.
Exactly, visit the people that you want to visit, do everything that you want to do now, because when the time now is the available time, so whatever you want to do, and for me in particular, may not apply to everybody, but I mean to all those that are believers, is to accompany all the work with prayers, of course.
Because
where our effort ends, the grace continues from there, and we're able to achieve anything that we plan to achieve in as much as it's our goal and God feels to grant it unto us. So yeah, that's what I can say about the lessons that I can have for this year. Yeah.
Wow, those are really, really powerful lessons. You know, like back in school, I really did used to admire you, and I still admire you, right? You know,
thanks.
In terms of your work ethic and all that. But something I never thought about is, you know, at the end of the day, right, when I came here, between when I got here in October and now, I think I have traveled, so I can't even count the number, maybe about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, six. I think I may have traveled to six different cities
wow.
in the wow. UK. Well, some of them just to spend a weekend to see a friend here and to see a friend there. And I feel very happy with myself because once it's weekend, Friday afternoon, I'm done with my supervisor's meeting in the morning and I just round up by evening. I don't do work Saturday and Sunday. And I didn't have those boundaries when I was in Rwanda because I don't know, can you have boundaries in that school? And it was very, it was an atmosphere. So we just came into the atmosphere and just carried it on without necessarily thinking about, is this what I need to do? And I was thinking about it, I was like, I don't even remember if places I went to in Rwanda. Someone texted me a few months ago. I was like, oh, I'm coming to Rwanda. What are the places that you think I can visit? And I'm like, I don't know. I just stayed in my house, went to church, went to school, went to Kimiroko Market, and that was it. And I told myself when I was coming to the UK that history, affliction will not arise a second time. History will not repeat itself. So yeah, these are very valid lessons, particularly concerning rest, you know, just taking a break and understand that PhD, you know, it's a marathon. It's not just 2 1 month or 1 year sprint and then you'll be over. It's a marathon and you need to, you know, gather strength for that. Anyways, this has been fun. Do you have anything else you want to add? Any?
No, I think I've said
everything you need to say.
Yeah, because basically I was answering the questions and just trying to add in anything else that I had to say. But I think, I think that's it. Globally, and that just to say that we should be thankful for everything that we've been able to achieve this year, and to also know that for anyone who is listening, to also know that those things that we have not been able to do this year, I mean, we are still alive. It means we have the opportunity to do them again next year if they are still necessary. So, in as much as we are alive, we still have the opportunity to right our wrongs and to improve on the things that we are currently doing. So that's it.
Well, thank you so much. Me, I personally needed to hear that last bit. So thank you. thank you for sharing. And thanks for coming.
Thank you, though. Thank you for having me.
Bye, guys. I hope you guys learned one or two things.